Okay, so really, who's learning Talmud? We're going to be learning Maseches Talmud this year. That's the official. Those who are Zed, you're learning Talmud. Beautiful. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else learning Talmud? There's no kfiya. No one is forced. Learning Talmud means that Emir Tashem this week will somehow, in some way, cover the 8.5 blot of Maseches Talmud.
Of the Gemara?
Mishnayos and some of the Prakim of Gemara. There's 7 prakim in Talmud. Some of them have Gemara. The whole thing is 8.5. So, 34 Mishnayos. We'll have to pace ourselves appropriately. Mir Tashem, Motzi Shabbos, we'll have a Siyam. Mir Tashem, this is the Minag.
Amen.
Although last year we were not Zochet to Messiah, Meseches Yadayim, so that's still an open. If anyone wants to finish that up and make a Siyam, that would be great. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. Please, we're just getting started. We're just figuring out the game plan. Okay, so we will learn Talmud every day. Corey will take care of all of your needs, physical and spiritual. All right, so Corey is in charge this year.
Zev's the Gavai, I'm the coordinator.
Zev's the Gavai. Corey's the base medrash coordinator. And if anyone has any questions or complaints, you'll talk to Corey. And Corey said that I should give an opening shiur tonight. So we will have an opening shiur. If anyone's not interested in the opening shiur, no one's expected to stay. You can go learn in the annex, which has wonderful snacks provided by... Really? Okay, but tonight's anonymous sponsor.
No, the
Friedman. Oh, the Friedman. I thought it was you.
What do you think of it?
Oh, I thought I was so impressed. I thought you cut the fruit.
I did cut the fruit.
Okay, you didn't pay for the fruit then.
No, but they didn't either. It was dropped off by the friends. We're going on a cruise tomorrow. Nice.
Uh-huh.
It's fruit.
Okay. The fruit. It will be bagels at some point this week.
Bagels.
We've had a minhag for several years now to have an annual Chinese dinner, which Bnei Stola are invited to, which usually includes our daughters. And anyone else, as the Stola family grows, everyone's invited. So my kids are looking forward to it, so we're going to have to...
Which night works best for them?
I don't know. Their last night of school is Wednesday night. Wednesday's their last day of school, so Wednesday night could be a good night for the annual Stola kids dinner. Okay. Fine, so... We'll talk a little bit about Talmud, and we'll talk a little bit about Kadshim in general. And we'll talk a little bit about why Stola learns Mesechtos that other people don't always learn. And, you know, when I think back to when Rafi Light, there was Stola Shlita, who will be here when? At some point, he'll be here. When he invited me 5 years ago to give, they were learning Mesechtos Talmud, and they invited me to give some Shirim on that. Mesechta, which I knew a little bit about, and it was such a good. It came from a lot of different places. It came from a place of we need to learn something different. It came from a place of we should learn about the Beis Hamikdash. It came from a place that let's pick something we could maybe actually finish in the course of a week. So you know, we ruled out the Bavas pretty quickly, and Ksubis for some.
Is that what you suggested this year?
No, I did not. I wanted to do Arla this year, that's the truth. I really wanted to do Arla this year. But it wasn't meant to be. So we go back to our roots, which is a good thing, I think, as I think we're in a kind of a transitional stage of redefining who comes to Stola, although everyone, of course, the whole world is invited, as is the Minhag. But 5 years ago, basically, you know, Chevra got together to spend time together, to daven together, and to do things a little bit differently. Differently means davening a little more slowly. Different means doing other interesting things. More or less anything goes at Stola. You know, the idea I was thinking just as I was pulling up. In Pirkei Avos it says, I want you to just know Dr. Friedman has officially changed his name for this stola. I received an email from Dr. Friedman where you included your Yiddish name with a very Hasidish spelling. I just want to put that out there. S-H-I-M-M-I-N. Shimon. So Dr. Friedman will no longer be Dr. Jerry Friedman. For now, from this stola forward, Amir Tashem. We spoke about doing new things and different things, so this is part of our new things. Okay. So anyways, but you know, the idea of getting together, in Pirkei Avos it says, one of the kinyanim of Torah is dibuk chaver. So some girsos say diktuk chaver. What's diktuk chaver? Dibuk chaver. Dibuk chaver means attaching yourself to good chaver. Diktuk chaver means maybe the same thing, but it also might mean you have to be careful about who your friends are. That's one of the farshim talk. We have to, you know, be medactic with your chaver in the same way that if I was kneilach chaver, right? And the Leib Simcha says. So just like if I was purchasing an item, I'd look into it. I try to find, make sure it's a good purchase. So when it comes to chaver, also dikta chaver, we got to check different chaver before you make the purchase. But by stolel, we've always been not so machmir on dikta chaver. We let anyone in. But we're very machmir on dibuk chaver. And I think maybe they go hand in hand. To the extent that a person's medabik with chaverim, he realizes that every chaver has something good to offer, and we don't have to be so medactic. So we let, you know, Baruch Hashem, we invite everyone. But the principles of stolel, of getting together, of davening nicely, of being metakin a little bit, the gvar that says that tefillah is dvarim, ha'om dem ruma sha'olam, b'nei adam mezalzlim, that people treat it lightly, people don't take it seriously. We make that a priority of ours. And when it comes to the learning also, you know, even though we debate every year if we should have an official Seder Limud, because maybe yes, maybe no, let people do their own thing, but people always encourage that we should have some type of official Limud, because that's part of the Dibuk Chaver. So we return to our roots this year to learn Maseches Tamid. So just a few thoughts about the importance of learning things that other people don't learn. The Sefer Chasidim, in two places, talks about the importance of pursuing mitzvos and areas of learning that other people don't learn. Sefer Chasidim first writes in Siman Kuf Hey, Kol mitzvah she'ein la dorish ve'ein mish mavakish osot tidrashana. Any mitzvah that other people are not interested in, you should pursue. Why? She'hi k'meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah stops everything. You could be a Kohen Gadol, you could be on your way to bring the car on Pesach, you could be involved in order to do bris milah for your son, things that have karis attached, everything stops for, it doesn't matter, when it comes to a meis mitzvah, everything stops. U'mitzvah she'ein la rodfim redov acharei la'asosa. Says Sefer Chasidim, a mitzvah that other people don't chase, you should chase. Sha'a mitzvah mekatreges ve'omeres kamagru anochi. The mitzvah complains to Rabbeinu Shalom, no one's interested in me. As Zera Chassidim says in Siman Kuf Hey with regard to mitzvahs, in Siman Reish Samach Aleph, he continues and he says it's not only true by mitzvahs, it's true by Talmud Torah as well. To pick areas of Torah that people don't customarily study. Ahov lachas a mitzvah adom l'meis mitzvah she'ein la'oskim kigon she'tira mitzvah bezuya. If you see a mitzvah that's treated poorly, o Torah she'ein la'oskim. Again, I just want to point out that the tefillah that we do, I think, is also part of this. It's not just that we pick mesechtos that people don't necessarily always study in yeshiva. I think everything we try to do is with a little bit of awareness, and we should keep that in mind, that we try to do things in a way that we're metaken those things that are not always taken, you know, not given the cheshivas they deserve. But if there's an area of Torah, he says, that people don't study, for example, kigon shetira shebnei ircha lom demoed v'seder nasha. If you see people in your town learn certain mesechtos, so learn other mesechtos. If you see that people are worried about learning Moed Katan or Perak Misha Mesu, the third Perak of Brachos, why are people scared to learn those mesechtos? Why don't we learn Moed Katan? Why don't we learn the third Perak of Brachos? So Sefer Chasidim says, because they talk about Avelos. And in Yoni Avelos, people are scared. Maybe it's an Ayin Hara. It's going to bring negative things upon myself, God forbid. So he says, you should learn those things. Should you protect yourself? Maybe learn a B'Seser, he says. Maybe Da'avet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it shouldn't, Chas V'Shalom, lead to anything negative. But these are things that a person should learn. The Makor Chesed, which was Reuven Margolius' notes on the Sefer Chasidim, so he quotes from the Knesset HaGedolah, who says that it could be, you know, it depends also when it comes to these Mesechtos, areas of Avelos, that people are hesitant to learn. So it could depend how you learn it. It could be if you learn it in a yeshiva setting, where you're drawing more attention to it, so then maybe it has to be done in a more secretive kind of way. If you're learning it on your own, So maybe it's not as big of a deal. You don't have to, you know, hide out in a dark room to avoid anyone knowing that you're studying these things, because God forbid it could be a kitchen. But he says there are certain areas that people have a tendency to avoid. There are other areas, other mesechtos that for various concerns people avoid. In the Sefer Zikaro, which is the Minhagim of the Chassam Sofer brings, and he quotes from Sefer Chassidim, although we don't have it in our version of Sefer Chassidim, he brings that the Chassam Sofer was Gozer, the author of Sefer Zikaron, brings from the Minhagim of Chassam Sofer, that Chassam Sofer would be Gozer at Tanis before learning Meseches Chulin and Meseches Yevamos. The Chassam Sofer. This was the Minhag in the Yeshiva of the Chassam Sofer. Chulin Yevamos, he says apparently he quoted that as being rooted in Sefer Chassidim. Whether Sefer Chassidim actually had that girsa or not, I leave it to the scholars to debate. It doesn't seem to be in our version of Sefer Chassidim. But what's the pshat? Learning Meseches. So I understand you're learning in Yonah Avela, so you're scared, God forbid, it could lead to Chas V'Shalom, negative things. What's the... Why about Meseches Chulin, when a person... By Yevamos? There's a concern that what? That maybe you're going to have to do Yibam, and that obviously is a very somewhat tragic circumstance that brings about a Yibam. What's with Chulin? No, the Shaykh, what do you say? What's with Chulin? What's the concern with Chulin? Okay, so I guess, right, you're Osik and Inyane Nefashos, right? Matters of souls, matters of life and death. Could be. There's a sefer called Yosef Ometz, Rav Yosef Yusbahan. Rav Yosef Yusbahan. He lived in the 1500s. We have a little introduction about him at the beginning. It's an important sefer of Minhagim. You see it quoted in Minhag Sfarim. So he has a small section here called Seder HaLimud Ba'atzmo, what he used to learn on a daily basis. So on page 270 of the Yosef Ometz, I have it in front of myself, you're welcome to look at it. He says, Achein Re'isi Mikadmonim, Nochei Nefesh, Shekodem Sheishchilu Lomor Chulin B'Yeshiva Gazur Tanis. He brings this Minhag. That they had this practice before they learned Meseches Chulin Yeshiva. They'd declare a Tanis. They'd have a day of fasting. Why would they have a day of fasting? Vatam, he brings the Tam. Chassam Sofer doesn't bring the Tam. Here he brings the Tam. Vatam b'nei shaliyikatreg hamastin al talmidei chachamim who hamarim hilchos shchita ba'atzmo. When a person is trying to discern, this was before they had Chulin illuminated. Understand? There was a door before Chulin illuminated. So in those days, right, if a person wanted to indicate, wanted to show, and they didn't always have an in-house shochet, like, where's Zochet at? We're doing a shechita this week? Maybe. Yeah? Okay, we're doing a shechita this week. Dr. Shimon says we're doing a shechita, that's it. Now it's just a question of what we're slaughtering. Fine.
Danny can help you guess
one. Oh,
yeah,
Danny, sure.
Okay.
I
can only do birds.
Costco. All right, birds. Birds it is. Maybe for the annual kids' dinner? Sahaba would not like that. So why do you fast before learning Chulin? Because if you're teaching Chulin, and you're trying to describe the different parts, right, the spots on the animal, different, right, so a person might take his hand, as people sometimes do, and they point to, I'm not going to do it, you point to your neck, you say, right, you make the slitting, you know, of the throat, motion on one's own neck, God forbid, and that also could be a kitrik. So to protect a Talmud Chacham, to protect those who are going to be pointing to the Makom HaShechita, and God forbid making signals towards themselves about Inyan HaShechita, so therefore there was a minhag to fast before learning Meseches Chulin. So these are some of the Mesechtas that people shy away from out of fear. But there are other Mesechtas and other things that people shy away from that fall, I think, into the category of Sefer Chassidim as a Mace Mitzvah for other reasons. If you look in the Chavos Yar, Shalos and Chuvos Chavos Yar, Rav Yair Chaim Bakrak. So he writes in Kuf Chav Dalet, he's writing a letter, I think, either to the father of Bar Mitzvah, I don't think it's still a Bar Mitzvah boy, to the father of a young man who's coming of Gil Mitzvos, as we say nowadays, and he wanted to know a Seder HaLimud for his son. How should he teach his son? What should he teach him? You know, what should be the Seder HaLimud? So Chavos Yar there goes off a bit on complaining about the way that we study Torah. He's quite critical of many things that we do. And one of the points that he makes, he says, Or HaChaim. Right? Not Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but the section of the Shulchan Aruch called Or HaChaim, he says it's like a Mace Mitzvah. Why is it like a Mace Mitzvah? Think about it. Because when you're in Yeshiva, you're either learning, right, Gemaras, who has time for Halacha? Everyone learns the Mesechtos. Who sits and actually is Kovei Yitim for learning Halacha? And then once you finish with yeshiva, you're going to stay in learning, so you're going to go to a smicha. So smicha, what are you going to learn? You're going to learn your ardeya. So when does anyone ever learn Orach Chaim properly? When does a person actually koveya, you know, a serious thing? He says Orach Chaim is like a meis mitzvah. Sometimes a very basic area of Jewish life becomes like a meis mitzvah. In the drushos of Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, the Mashgiach of Kamenitz, translated to English by in the name of the Sefer's from a pure fire, the Ish Tam. So in there he says the following. He has a piece where he talks about the importance of having a broad Torah knowledge. And he writes there on page 148, and it's Kedai to see. He says, a person gets to Shemayim. He's paraphrasing the Medrash and Mishlei. There's a Medrash and Mishlei that says you get to Shemayim and the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes you to task. No matter what you learn, you say, I learned this. Did you learn this? No, I didn't learn that. Okay, Gehanim. I learned this and I learned this. Okay, but did you learn that? No, Gehanim. Nevi Shechayim brings this very terrifying Medrash and Mishlei. So, Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, the Mashgiach of Kamenitz, used to say, a person gets to Shemayim. A Bachur has been learning in yeshivas. And they say to him, Rabbeinu Shalom says to him, so I saw that you were very much osek in the writings of Rav Chaim Brisker. That's very nice. It's beautiful. Rav Chaim wrote a beautiful sefer. And he says, I saw that you studied very seriously other svarim, the Eben Ezel. That's the Rav Isser Zalman. That's very, very chashuv work. And I'm sure you studied many other, you know, the Ketzos, you know, the Nesivos. You spent a lot of time learning all these svarim. And Rabbeinu Shalom is going to say, but guess what? I also wrote a book. It's called the Chodesh. So maybe you heard of it. Maybe that's also worth a few minutes of your time. You know, I know that you're going to look balabatish if you get caught, you know, spending your morning seder during Shnayim. Mirko chas shalom. But the Rosh says, I also wrote a sefer. What about my sefer? You took Rav Chaim Brisker sefer seriously. What about my sefer? So sometimes the Chumash could be like a meis mitzvah. So there are many areas that become like a meis mitzvah. But probably what the sefer Chassidim had in mind, specifically when he spoke about meis mitzvah, he was talking about those mesechtos that are not often studied. And in a different essay that Rav Moshe Aaron Stern has in there, he talks in a piece called The Importance of Learning, in the English version it's called The Importance of Learning Seder Zohar. He says, Seder Zohar, people don't learn Seder Zohar. He says, in the yeshivas, again, they learn Nashim, they learn Nezikin. And he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud. The Gemara says that when it comes to, when you give a gift to someone, so you have to tell them that you're giving them a gift. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. And most of the time, Hashem doesn't have to tell us the Torah is a gift. We've studied it. We know how beautiful it is. But there are sections of the Torah. If you don't tell a person that it's a pleasure to those who are osek in it, it just gets ignored. So he says, Seder Zohar. He says, it's a short reminder. He says, I'm coming to tell you that Seder Zohar is a gift of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We need to learn it. And he says, the Chazon Ish was known, studied Seder Zohar very much. So Moshe Aaron Stern says, I also studied Zohar. He says, I'm not bragging. So you're right. He says, I'm not bragging. But he says, I want you to know I also studied Zohar. I learned all of Seder Zohar. I learned all the Mishnayos with Bar Tanura and Tosfos Yom Tov and Tiferes Yisrael. And he says, I looked at a lot of the Yerushalmis on Zoram. And he says, most yeshiva bachim, he says, his Lashon, part of the Lashon, he says, but most yeshiva bachim are Amaratim de Araisa when it comes to Seder Zoram. They never opened it. And he gives a very funny mashal to one of the other pieces. He brings a mashal, he says, two guys are in the base mattress. They're learning whatever Masechta. And it quotes a Mishnah in Trumos. So they go to the shelf and they pull off Mishnayos. Yachon Ubala is Mishnayos. They open it up, they're looking, they read Bar Tanura, they have no clue what it's talking about. The Tos Yom Tov, Tiferes Yisrael, they have no clue what's going on. So one of the guys says to his friend, he says, listen, just come back to my dorm room. So I got a kahati in my closet. That's what he says. That's how he tells him. So I got a kahati, you know? And they're very embarrassed at that. They have to use a kahati, they can't even make a laning out of a regular Mishnayos. So they go back, you know, they go back to the dorm room and he goes, you know, digs in the back of the commission, no one's around. And one of the guys, you know, stands guard, the other guy learns up the kahati, and they go back to base marriage and pretend like nothing ever happened. He says, Rahman al Tsun, your Amaratim Daraisa in the Zinanim. He tells a story. He says, when I first started, I was teaching. So I was teaching 15-year-old boys. I taught them the Parakeitim of Arkham. He said, brachos. What yeshiva learns brachos? Right? Who learns brachos? So he says, I was learning Parakeitim of Arkham. He says, I got a call from a woman. She says, I need you to stop teaching my son Keitim of Arkham. She says, my husband's been learning a kola for many years. And I thought he was a big Talmud Chacham, but now every time we sit down at the table, something, you know, in Yonei brachos, achila, and my son says, you know, Tati, doesn't Mishnah Berurah say like that? He pulls in the Mishnah Berurah. He's right. He says, make my husband look like an Am Haaretz. So Moshe Aaron Stern said back to this one, he says, so what do you want? He says, you want that I should sacrifice that your son's wife should think that he's an Am Haaretz? Meaning, at some point we have to catch up and just learn the things we're supposed to learn. Right? We got to fill in the gaps. So Moshe Aaron Stern says, I'm coming to tell you Bachram. He's writing to the, or speaking to the Bachram. I'm coming to tell you that learning Hilchos Brachos, that learning Seder Zoram is a Bracham. There are other Mesechtos that throughout the generations people refer to as a Meitz Mitzvah. One of my dreams is to learn Maseches Horios in Stola. It's just a little bit, it's like a little bit too long. It's not, if we broke it up over 2 years, we could, if we can, you know, sign people up for a 2-year contract, then we could probably do it. But the Rav Bissala Ronchberg, who wrote Ha'aros on the side, some of the Gemara, some of the Masechtos have his Hagos on the side. He wrote a sefer in the 1700s. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Prague. And he wrote a sefer called Hor Gevra Maseches Horios. And it's brought in his name that he said about Maseches Horios. It's like a base mitzvah. Who learned Maseches Horios? Right? And how many people even know that there's such a Gemara called Maseches Horios? Just one of the smaller Masechtos that gets overlooked. And then it becomes like a base mitzvah. He's not the only one to refer to it as a mason. It's in the Elef HaMagin, which is a commentary on the Maseches Horos. It was written by Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yaffe, who was a descendant of Rav Mordechai Yaffe the Levush, the Baal Levusha. So he passed away in 1892, and his children write in the Hagdama, as they were printing his writings. They say, one of his children printed it, and he writes in the Hagdama, he says, you know, I'm printing my father's writings, Elef HaMagin on the Maseches Horos, to fulfill a double mitzvah. Number one, keep it up, printing my father's Chidush Torah, beautiful mitzvah. Number two, to be Makai in the Sefer Chassidim, because who on earth learns Maseches Horos? Who writes commentaries on Maseches Horos? So there's a big tzarech to be Matakin in these inyanim. This is the importance of filling in some of these gaps. I'll just share with you one comment from the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim, in the Chavetz Chaim al Torah, in the footnotes, it brings that the Chavetz Chaim once asked Rabbi Saul Salanter, how should a person learn? Is it more important to learn more Be'ian, more Bekiyas? Right, it's a sensitive question, and it's obviously a highly debated topic. But Rav Yisrael Salanter responded to the Chavetz Chaim, Tzrichim ledas midas archav rachva shel Torah Hashem. Person has to at least have a sense of the breadth, right, the expanse of Torah Hashem. That doesn't mean I'm a bucky and everything, but I've seen it, I have a shaychus to it. Chavetz Chaim actually writes in his Sefer Shem Olam that if a person has no shaychus to an area of Torah in this world, in the next world he will never understand it. That's a very scary comment. You know, we think, right? It's different. Certain groups are very, Breslov is very into this, that they should at least, you know, see everything, at least touch it once in your life. Chavetz Chaim says that you have no shaychus. If we learn Maseches Tamid and Stolal, we pound it for a week, we forget it a week from now, so at least we get to Olam HaEmes, we'll say, oh, we have a shaychus to Maseches Tamid, then they'll teach us Maseches Tamid properly, and we'll be holding it. But if you've never learned it, Chavetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Shem Olam, if you never learned it, if you have no shaychus, if you've never touched Mishnayis Klein, if you never touched Maseches Yadayim, if you have no shaychus to Meisr Sheini, you'll never understand it in the next world. It's not like eventually you'll catch it. You have to at least touch it in this world. So Chavetz Chaim writes in Shem Olam. But getting back to Chavetz Chaim al Torah, so we saw a lot, so you need to at least, again, have a sense of what's out there. And the Chavetz Chaim gave the following mashal. He said, a person who puts all of his energies into one area of Torah, he says, mashal l'mad davar doma, le'echad shebizbe is kol nechasav liknos lo kova yafe. It's like a person who spends all his money to buy a nice hat at the expense of the rest of his begadim, if you understand what this person would look like walking down the street in a very nice hat. V'lo nishalo ma'uma lechasos me'aru megufo. But unfortunately, he is unclothed in every other part of his body. So is that how you want to look? You say, I'm a bucky in one area of Torah, but you look like a fool. You look like a fool in Olam HaEmes. If Torah Hashem Tamima, he says, if you have a big picture of Torah, then Meshivas Nafesh, then your soul will have a Menuchas and Nafesh, lost lava. If Rachmana Letzlan, a person has no Sheikhas to it, then God forbid, he'll be losing out very greatly in the next one. But just getting back to Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim, in addition to mentioning the Masechtos that I mentioned, that people avoid because of a fear of Avelos, and Yonei Avelos, he mentions one other area, which I intentionally glossed over, and he says, if everyone in your neighborhood is learning Moed and Nashim, what does he say? Tilmud Seder Kachim. Shalem Kachim. Shalem Kachim. That's an area, he says, perhaps even more so than these other areas, right? Even more so than maybe Maseches Horios, because in some yeshivas they do learn it. It does have some good lamdas on it. Right? But Seder Kachim, who learns Kachim? Who learns Kachim? Chavetz Chaim wrote a whole sefer called Torah Or, encouraging people to learn Kachim. He says, I'm tired of the excuses, he writes in the second paragraph. People make excuses and they say, why should I learn Kachim? It's not practical. So Chavetz Chaim says, tell me all the yeshivish Masechtos, you're learning them, halacha l'maisa. Tell me that everything that you're learning is, right? People learn Masechta Sanhedrin, he said. Sanhedrin, that's halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh. Right? Every discussion that you're going to come across is halacha l'maisa, and every other Masechta, you learn Makos, he says, that's halacha l'maisa. So don't tell me it's not practical halacha l'maisa. There's many other benefits the Chafetz Chaim writes in that second parak of Torah Or. It's a beautiful sefer. It's kedai. We should learn a parak a day. You can learn the whole thing over the course of Stolo. Maybe not, a little more. But it's a very kedai. I have a couple extra copies. If anyone wants a copy, let me know. I'll get you a copy. Yes? Okay, we have packets? Torah Or. We have, no, I have copies. They printed them as individual volumes. I have a few in my parents' house. I'll get them. Bring out there. First come, first serve. We'll auction them off. For what? Donations to Staka, hours of learning, whatever. We'll figure it out. Fine. Kiddush on Shabbos. So, anyways, the Chafetz Chaim says, don't tell me it's not practical. That's the first one. Second of all, he says, think about what the Gemara says in Megillah, that Avraham Avinu says, what's going to be when there's no Beis HaMikdash? How are we going to bring karbanos? Hashem says, so learn about it and it'll be like you did it. The Gemara at the end of Menachos. Kol Oseik B'Toras, whatever, it's Kilu you brought. Not whatever. Remember, Oseik B'Toras, that karban, it's Kilu you brought that karban. So Chafetz Chaim says, think about it. You know how much a karban costs? Corey, how much do you pay for the animals you shecht?
$6
a chicken. Okay, if you're bringing chicken. But if you're bringing a big behemoth to the base of Mikdash, and you have many averos that you're responsible, you have to travel. Travel expenses are not cheap. Second of all, you got to buy the animal. It's very expensive. Chofetz Chaim says, do you realize what opportunity we have as manazeh? That we can very quickly chop. All you have to do is sit in the base of Mikdash and learn.
How's about $1,000?
$1,000. Seriously? Now, Chofetz Chaim says, you come to the base of Mikdash, you learn about it. That's it. You don't have to travel very far. No major expenses. A gevaldik opportunity for a person to learn Seder Kachim. And we know that Kachim comes with tremendous chachma, right? The opportunity to expand one's mind for all the complaints. It's not practical. What do I need to? It opens your mind in a special way. The Gemara says in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, Amar Yish Lakish, Ma'idich Siv, Ahaya Munas Itecha, Chosin Yeshuas, Chachmas Vedas. And Muna says Seder Zram, Yitecha is Moed, Chosin is Nashim, Yeshua is Nezikin. Chachmas. What's Chachmas? Seder Kachim. Person wants to expand his knowledge, expand his mind. So learn Kachim. Right? It's the ultimate Chachma. But I want to say that it's a double Chachma this year. Because when you learn a Masechta in Kachim, right, like Talmud, because even in the yeshivas that learn Kachim, you go to Brisk, right, in Yerushalayim, they learn sections of Kachim. I mean, they're learning Zvachim, Menachos, Chulin. Right? Who really learns, sits and learns Maseches Talmud? Which we should all be learning. It's the Beis HaMikdash. It should be the Masech that we learn, maybe more than anything else. Right? So when we learn a section of Kachim, which is inherently Chachma, and we learn a section of Kachim, which is like a Beis Mitzvah, it's a double Chachma. What's my Raya? My Raya is from the Ateres Yeshua in next week's Parsha Peshalach. He says, what's the Peshat in the Gemara in Sotah Yud Gimel? It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was called a Chacham, right? Lev Chacham, I think that's the Pasuk, right? Lev Chacham Yikach Mitzvos. I think that's the Pasuk. That Moshe Rabbeinu was a Chacham. Why was Moshe a Chacham? Because he took the bones of Yosef at Tzadik while everyone else was taking the spoils of Mitzrayim. That's the Gemara Sotah Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Mefarshim asks, why do you call Moshe a Chacham? Call him a Tzadik? Call him a Chassid? So he says, Teresh Yeshua says, no, here's the Pshat. He says, everyone else was also doing Mitzvos. Everyone was doing mitzvahs. What was the mitzvah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there's a mitzvah to take from the spoils of Mitzrayim also. That's also a mitzvah. It's also a Dvar Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu was a chacham. Why was he a chacham? Because he says, everyone else is going to do a mitzvah, but I'm going to do the mitzvah that no one's going to do. That's a chacham. Everyone was a tzad, everyone was a chassid, everyone was doing avodas Hashem. I'm going to pick the mitzvah that no one else is doing. That's a chacham. So when you learn Seder Kachim, which is inherently chacham, and you pick a mesechta, which is itself a meis mitzvah, right? Like Moshe Rabbeinu was the Chacham. Leiv Chacham Yikach Mitzvahs, to take the mitzvah that no one else is doing. That's the biggest Chacham. So we have a double Chacham. It's Mamash. It's a very big opportunity. Alright, I want to just introduce the Masechta, but just before we introduce the opening topic of Maseches Talmud, I want to just share one more of art from the Bnei Yisachar. Because Bnei Yisachar wrote a parish on Mishnayis called the Bracha Mishuleshes. I don't own the Sefer, but I was able to look at it today on Oitzer HaChachma, for those who have access to such things at the computer. And in the Bracha Mishuleshes, he quotes in his Psichata, it's on Mishnayis, he has a small paragraph, introduction to Kachim, and he says there, why is Kachim after Nezikin? Right? Zra'im, Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, Kachim. Why is Kachim after Nezikin? He says there's a tremendous toilus in learning Kachim. What was the greatest Nezik of all time? The Chorban. He says, what's the tikkun to the Khorban? What comes after Nezikin? When everything is broken and lost, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, what do? Where do you turn? You turn to Kachim. He says, that's like a Gemara Megillah. That Avraham Avinu says, Rabbanu Shalom, what's going to be without a Beis HaMikdash? He says, learn Kachim. So that's the Seder of Shas. You finish the Zikin, there's a Nezek. Where's the, where in Mesech is Gittin? Right, Gittin, of course, being the separation of us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Which parak talks about the Korban? And we can learn that there's few blood even on Tisha B'Av. What's the name of that parak? What'd you say? What's the name of the parak? What's the name of the parak? In Gittin, the parak that talks about the Khorban?
Okay, we're not holding
the Shas. I'm not going to answer that because. Parak on Izakin, it's called. Right? Why? So Svarm explained. Why is it in that parak? Because that's the greatest Nezek that Klal Yisrael are still recovering from. Right? The Nezek. So after Nezikin, where do we turn? We turn to Kachim. So Baruch Hashem, we should be zocha in the merit of learning in Yanei Kodshim, in particular about the Chorban HaMikdash. It should be a big tikkun. We should be zocha to see the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Okay, so let's just talk about the first topic in Meseches Tamid for a few minutes, and then we'll daven Marav. Okay, maybe we'll daven Marav 5 minutes later than scheduled if I have a shus, and we'll pick up tomorrow with more about this topic. But the first important topic, let's just learn. Here, does everyone have a copy? You guys have the copies of Meseches Tamid and underneath we have
the original.
The original?
And
the keeps
the
original. Okay. So we'll give this to our son. I think I get the whole packet. I think that's all right. For those who are holding in packets. Okay, let's just learn the first few words and just introduce the first topic. Okay, so while we hand out the packets, I'll just mention, like we said, there are 7 prakim. Only a few have Gemara. 34 Mishnayos, 8.5 plot. The Mefarshim to Meseches Tamid. Mefarshim, welcome to Ari. The Mefarshim to Meseches Tamid will introduce maybe tomorrow. But just so you have a sense of where Meseches Tamid falls in the Seder of Kachim. There are 11 Mesechtos in Kachim. Tamid ranks at number 9. The only 2 Mesechtos after Kachim are Midos, which has no Gemara on it, and Kinim. It's very possible that Midos and Kinim were written after the Chesimah Satalman, meaning after Ravina Ravash. Okay, we'll see. It's a big discussion whether or not Talmud even counts as one of the Mesechtos of Shas. So we'll touch on that for just a second also. But the Rambam writes in his Akdamot HaPerash HaMishnah that why is Talmud at the back end of Kachim? He says, after we deal with all the sections of Kachim which have Halacha, Tzvachim, Menachos, Chulin, you go through the bigger Mesechtos, we come to Meseches Talmud. What is Meseches Tamid? He says it's a story. It's mamash a story. A day in the life of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Rambam describes it in his Akdama to Perash HaMishnah. He says it doesn't have a lot of Isser V'Heter, although again it does have a lot of Halacha with regard to how the Beis HaMikdash functions, but there's not so much Achlokas necessarily, there's not so much Halacha that's discussed. It's really just a story, a day in the life of bringing the Karban Tamid. And it even concludes with a beautiful bracha that we should be zocha. The Masechet itself concludes with the bracha that we should see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And then Masechet Midos goes on to further describe the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. And Kinim is put at the back end of Kachim probably because it's impossible. I wanted to learn Kinim this year also, but when Teplo was still around, he said absolutely not. That's ridiculous. It's a horrible idea. It's 15 Mishnayos. It's all math, and it's just very hard. We would be drawing charts all day, but maybe one year we'll be zochet to be brave enough to try Meseches Kinim. Okay, about that question, is Meseches Tamid part of Shas? So just very, very quickly, there's a small kuntres I have here, everyone's welcome to look at it, from the Munkacher. It's called Olas Tamid. We have another sefer that we'll introduce tomorrow called Olas Tamid, very important sefer, Meseches Kachim. But this is from Reb Chaim Luzer Shapiro, Shalom Aleichem, welcome. The Munkacher Rebbe. And he wrote it partially in response to a sefer called Mishkanos L'Avir Yaakov, a sefer that was written arguing very strongly that the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash, the first mitzvah we're going to talk about, the mitzvah d'oraisa, of protecting the Beis HaMikdash, applies to Zman HaZeh. And the Munkacher went crazy. Because he says, essentially, what does that mean? The sefer, he says, this Mechaber wrote with good intention, but to say that Zman HaZeh, we have to do Shmiras HaMikdash, he says it's a terrible idea. You're putting up guards to protect the mosque. That's what we need. So he said, I have to respond to this. But he talks about Maseches Tamid. And one of the questions he talks about in his introduction is, does Maseches Tamid count as one of the Maseches of Shas? We have a tradition, 36 Maseches and Shas. Talk a lot about Chanukah Torah, 36 Neros, 36 Maseches, right? Torah Shval Peh. What did you say?
Day after
Shul, 36 days of Purim. Alright. Okay. Very good. Very good. So is Tamid one of the 36 Maseches? So he says in the Tzemach David, which is quoted in the Seder Adoro, Tzemach David was David Gand, he was a historian. I think he was in the time of the Maharal, maybe he was someone who was Sheikh of the Maharal, maybe a relative of the Maharal even. He recorded a lot of different things. He says we have 30, seems we have 37 Masechtos in our Gemara. In our Shas. Masechtos Tamid, perhaps that was after Ravina Ravashi, where does that fit into all of this? A big discussion. The Munkatra says, Maseches Tamid is definitely one of the Maseches of Shas. We are learning Maseches of Gemara. We will be here to Shem B'Sayim this week of Maseches of Gemara. One of the Maseches, the smallest Maseches of Gemara of Shas. But he says it is a Maseches as part of Shas. What do you do with the fact that the numbers seem to struggle to account for Maseches Tamid? How do you fit it in? So he says, it could be maybe there are other ways to deal with this. Maybe combine Maseches Sanhedrin and Makos. There's a school of thought like that. Of Yehuda Asad in the Shas Tshuvas Yehuda Yala, or Achaim Siman Aleph has a lengthy tshuva about also how do you calculate the Maseches of Shas. But we will go with the Shita, with the assumption that Maseches Tamid is part of Shas. So how does this beautiful Masechta begin? B'shloshim makomos haKohanim shomrim beis hamikdash. There are three places where the Kohanim guard in the beis hamikdash. Okay, let's just talk about this mitzvah for mamish just a few minutes, and if I'm getting more than a few minutes, someone cut me off. Okay, what is this mitzvah of Shmiras Hamikdash? So it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. That much is clear. Where is the source for this mitzvah d'oraisa? It's in Parshas Korach, Perek Yudches. Moshe and Aaron are told that you need to protect the Beis Hamikdash, protect the Mishkan. Right. It says in Pesukim Gimel, in Pesukim Dalem, v'shamu b'shmartecha, b'shmeres kol ha'ol, protect the ol, v'nuvu elecha v'shamu b'shmeres ha'amoeh, pasuk dalet. You should make sure that foreigners don't enter into the Ohel Moed, don't walk into the Mishkan. Okay, it seems that it's a real mitzvah, and most of the Moneh HaMitzvos record it. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, he in fact records two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah, D'oraisa says in the Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah Shin Pei Ches, mitzvah Shmiras HaMikdash, a mitzvah Asay to guard the Mikdash, and failure to do so is a bitol Asay. That's Shin Pei Ches. And a few mitzvahs later, Shin Tzadi Aleph, again, the Chinuch records the second Lav, Shalom Levatel, Shmiras HaMikdash. So we're dealing with two of the 613 mitzvahs D'oraisa, Shin Pei Ches and Shin Tzadi Aleph, a mitzvah Asay to guard the Mikdash, and a mitzvah Los Asay, in addition to the bitul asay for one who fails to do so. What's the idea behind this mitzvah? What's driving this mitzvah? Why do we have this mitzvah? So very quickly, just a few explanations that are offered. If you look in the Rush, one of the primary commentaries alongside, it's right printed on the page of the daf in Maseches Tamid. On the right hand side, you can see it in the small print, Perash HaRush. The Rush says, why do we have Shmiras HaMikdash? He says, about five lines in, Kohanim Shomrim Shimur Ze Eino Mishum Chishuv Gneva. The Eino Nils B'Makom Hashiras. We're not scared that someone's going to rob the Beis Hamikdash, because the Jewish people are very rich. Eino Nils B'Makom Hashiras. We're not worried about becoming poor in a place where we always have unlimited funding, and therefore it can't be that we're protecting it from robbers. So why are we guarding the Beis Hamikdash? He says it's Gzeres HaKasef. I want to start with the Rush because that's an important thing to remember by all mitzvahs. Famous Rambam by Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Dalet, Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam says, why do we blow a shofar? Why do we blow a shofar in the Yom Nora? Why do we blow a shofar in Elul? So the Rambam says, Afal pi, Shetikiyah shofar is Gzer Sokasu, Remez Yeshba. Right? There's a Remez. What's the Remez? To wake ourselves up. We often forget that before the Rambam says about wake up sleepy Jews, the Rambam says, why do we blow a shofar? Someone asks you, why do Jews blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah? You could say it's funny you ask, because it's the exact same reason we wear tefillin. Really? Yeah, it's even the same reason we keep kosher. It's the same reason we keep Shabbos. It's the same reason we have Chochmas Torah Shem Shpacha. It's the same reason we don't speak Lashon Hara. Really, it's all the same reason. Yeah, what is it? Because God said so. Gzeres HaKasef. That's the base, and it's such a beautiful rush to remind us before anything. Why do you shmiras HaMikdash? It's not a question. Gzeres HaKasef. The Torah says so. That's why we do so. Okay, but there are other reasons. Right? Why else do we have this mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. So the Rambam expands on this idea. We're not afraid about robbers, and therefore why are we guarding the Beis HaMikdash? Kavod. Kavod. Ein Odom, because the Lashon of the Medrash, Ein Odom HaPlashon Sheyesh HaLavshom. And you can't compare the Rambam Hilchos Beis HaBachir on the 8th Parak, Halacha Aleph. You can't compare a place that has guards to a place without guards. It's purely for the sake of Kavod. Take Buckingham Palace. We have our own Buckingham Palace here in Rehov Buckingham. But Buckingham, right in Buckingham Palace, there's guards. There's guards protecting from bad guys. It's a sign of prestige. It's a sign of kavod. I saw the Kol Sofer. Right, he's Medayik in our Mishnah. And I was chazzling over the... A lot of this shir exists already. This is I gave the exact same shir. The first year stolo. I tried to touch it up a little bit. So I had one point that I found this year. The Kol Sofer says, look at the Mishnah. B'shlosh mekomos okanam shomrim... Doesn't say they're shomer es the Beis HaMikdash, not guarding the Beis HaMikdash. They're guarding where? Bi Beis HaMikdash. They're guarding in the Mikdash. Are they guarding the Mikdash? Does the Mikdash need to be protected? The Mikdash doesn't need to be protected. It's a sign of kavod that we should, out of respect for the Beis HaMikdash, we should guard the Mikdash. And it could be that's why some of the Monei mitzvah, even though many do count it, the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah, Sefer HaChinuch counts it as a mitzvah, Rav Saadia Gaon in his Minyan HaMitzvot does not count it. So Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlau, in his famous three-volume work on the Rav Saadia Gaon's Sefer HaMitzvos, says why doesn't the Rav Saadia Gaon count it? He says because it's part of the general mitzvah d'oraisa of Moreh Mikdash. There's a mitzvah to fear the Beis HaMikdash. I need to give you a separate mitzvah to it's a sign of kavod. That's part of the general atmosphere we're trying to create in the Beis HaMikdash. That it should be a place that you come and you say, this is a chashuv place. It's not about robbers, it's not about... Now that still impacts the shmirah. I mean, once I'm being shomer, I'm not going to fake it. Once I'm being shomer, and the Nezer has a tshuva where he talks about shmirah semikdash v'zmanetzeh, and he says, this is in Yoredeya 449, Tuf Memtes, he says in Sifkat and Dalit, even though shmirah semikdash, he says, is not for robbers, as the Rambam tells us, mikol makom tzarech sheyesh shem shimur alav, v'ashomer v'adei lishmur akelim. Once you're standing there, you have to be a guard. Meaning, if someone comes to try to steal the kli, you can't just say, well, I'm just here for kavod, so ein anias b'makom ashiras, we can replace that very easily, so help yourself. Once you're established as a guard, you have to guard. The guards took it seriously. We'll see, they don't have weapons per se, right? But they're expected to really guard. A couple of years ago, we introduced Sefer Ezra's Kohanim. Ezra's Kohanim is a two-volume commentary on Maseches Midos. So, and also, another new point that I found this year. He writes, in the first Mishnah in Midos, he says, also as an expansion of this idea, if we're guarding and the guarding is for real, then we guard in places that are the most susceptible to theft. We're not really concerned about theft, the Rambam says. We're not really concerned that someone's going to rob the Beis HaMikdash. But he says, Aval hashta d'tzrichin shomrim, is Ezra's Kohanim. Now that we require guards, he says, mitam kavod gedula, mitam gzeres hakasav, like the Rosh told us, kavu makum hashomrim, b'makum sheyesh yosher chashash geneva. We station the guards at the point that are best for actually guarding. So we do take the guarding seriously, but essentially it's just a sign of kavod for the makom mikdash that we give it its chashivus. But the pashut pshat, and maybe I'll just end with this, and we'll pick up tomorrow. The pashut pshat in shmiras hamikdash is what the pasuk says. Just go back to Rashi and Chumash, and this is what the Gra brings in his Bir HaGra on the Mishnayos and Maseches Tamid. Just go back to the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? What does the Pasuk say? V'nilvu alecha v'shamruas v'shmeras ol moed. This is again, Parshas Korach Yudches Dalid. Why am I guarding the Mikdash? V'zar lo yikrav alech. That a foreigner shouldn't walk into the base of the Mikdash. Says Rashi. What's the Pshat? Pashat Pshat, says Rashi. V'yilvu. V'yischabru aleichem, the Levim will join the Kohanim, as we'll see. Lahazir gam heimas azarim miliskar v'aleim. We want to keep out people who don't. We're concerned for Toma. You can't just walk wherever you want in the base of Mikdash. And I'll make the same joke that I made during Stola 1, because it was a good joke. Right? You can have some tour guide with his fanny pack walking around the Har Bias, yeah, and he's gonna be like poking his head around the base of Mikdash, and he's gonna go over to the Kodesh Kadashim and say, oh, like I wonder, like, you know, he sees this beautiful curtain, he's gonna want to look behind the curtain. Right? So you need to have guards who are standing there to say, whoa, where do you think you're going? Right? When that, you know, that Chinese tour guide with his camera in Times Square wants to take some pictures of the Kodesh Kadosh, you can say, excuse me, sir, I'm sorry, you need to, right? So we only allow you to go into certain areas. That's the Pashup Shah. And that's what Rashi and Chumash brings, that's what the Grub brings. And I guess we'll pick up tomorrow to talk about a little more, you know, these different opinions. Is it for kavod? Is it that we shouldn't have a hesach hadas from the mikdash? We'll talk about when you have to guard the base mikdash. Is it by day? Is it by night? A big machlokes we showed him, but we'll pick up with that. Okay, so this was a good introduction, and it looks like maybe AP Halevi will lead us in the service tonight. Perhaps. Are you coming again? Okay, you'll be back. Well,
I'm here.